Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, last week we started working through a verse in the Old Testament from 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. And the Word of God says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." And I think that's one of the biggest reasons that we pray, or some of the things that are listed in this verse. We pray probably more than anything else because we seek forgiveness from God for our sins. And we pray on a regular basis because we desperately need God to heal us and to restore us. And we need that from Him physically. We all have folks that we pray for on a regular basis. We pray for ourselves when we are sick, when we are hurting. We need healing from God. We pray to Him when things are not right, when we wish things were different, when things have gone a direction we didn't expect or are not prepared for, and we want Him to restore. And so I think probably one of the biggest reasons we pray is for healing and for restoration. And that's a good thing. We should pray to God because He says that He will hear those prayers. But He says there's some things you need to do. If you're going to seek God for healing, if you're going to seek God for restoration, whether that is healing in your body or healing in your spirit, whether that is a restoration of your own life, whether that's restoration of your family or our church or our nation, God is the one who can answer those prayers. God is the one who can heal. God is the one who can restore. And He promises to do it. But He gives us some things that we need to do, some ways that we need to approach Him if we ask this of Him. And so we began last week just by looking at the four things that are in this prayer. And the first one was that God said, when we come to Him, we need to humble ourselves. And we spent the entire sermon talking about humbling ourselves in the sight of the Lord and the fact that it's a choice that we make to humble ourselves, and it is a daily choice that we make. And so we said, if we're going to come to God and pray this way, that we need to admit that we are not in control. I need to admit that I am not in control. And God sees humble people and He blesses them and He guides them and He shows them grace. God loves folks who are humble and who recognize that He is in control and that they are not in control. The second thing that we're going to see in this verse and that we're going to spend time talking about today is that if we want to receive healing and we want to receive restoration, then we have to ask God for help. If my people will pray, God says, and He says if they will humble themselves, He says if they will pray. And that may seem on the surface to be a very obvious thing. That if you want God to help you, then you need to ask Him for help. And we've spent almost 40 days so far talking about this very thing. And so in some ways it seems like it's pretty obvious that of course we have to pray. But I think there's a reason that God reminds us that if we want healing and restoration, we need to ask for it. Because I think too often, even as children of God, we don't ask. James even says that the reason you don't have, he said to that church, the reason you don't have is because you don't ask. There's something in us that on some occasions, in some circumstances, we just don't ask. I think often we just think we can handle it ourselves. There's something in us and in our pride that thinks we should handle it ourselves. There's something that makes us feel weak. And that's why we have to humble ourselves and admit we're not in control, because to ask is something that is hard for us to do. Some folks think that we just need to, you know, get all of our resources together and we need to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and we just need to fix whatever's wrong. Some of us worry about it and we fret about it and we spend our time regurgitating it and meditating on it, but we never actually get around to asking God to help us with it. And then very often, it's only after we have done everything else that we come to prayer as a last resort. And so I think that it is obvious to say if we need help from God and healing and restoration, we need to pray. But I think it's so obvious that sometimes we overlook it and move past it. And so God reminds his people to pray, to ask him for help. And so I just want us to look today at a few helpful hints, is what I'm calling them, helpful hints for praying. And we're going to look at three verses in Scripture that give us some guidance here on remembering to ask and on why we should ask. And the first one is found in John chapter 16. And it's Jesus speaking. And he says, "I tell you the truth, my Father will give you anything you ask for in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy will be the fullest possible joy." Would anyone right now really enjoy some joy? How many of you would like your fullest possible joy? Yes. And one of the ways that you're going to receive that is from Jesus. When we ask, when we ask. And if you work through Jesus' life and you've read any of these passages in John especially, you will notice that in the last times that he had with his followers, with his disciples, he repeatedly reminded them to ask for things. He repeatedly reminded them to pray and ask for things in his name. And I've been thinking about that, because why did Jesus do that? Why was that something that was so important to him? And I think it may have something to do with this, because Jesus had been with these 12 especially. There were more than that, but these 12 apostles and then all these followers and disciples, Jesus had been with them for 3 years. And during that 3 years, he was the leader. And they were the followers. He was the master, and they were the apprentices. He was the teacher, and they were the students. That was the relationship that they had with him. And as they followed him, they looked to Jesus for every answer. They looked to Jesus for every day. What are we going to do today, Jesus? I don't think that the disciples decided that. I think Jesus decided that. When they interacted with people, they looked to Jesus to know, what do I say or what do I do? On any given day, they looked to Jesus to know, where do I go? Any decisions that were made by Jesus. And so they had become very used over those 3 years to literally asking Jesus and receiving answers. And I think Jesus is so intent at the end of his time with them to let them know this does not have to change. He says, "I'm going away." He says it's going to actually be better for you, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and we have the Holy Spirit, and through him we can still ask Jesus, and he can still give answers. Practical, daily answers. We're talking about praying for healing and restoration, and those are some big things in our lives, but we practice it just with the little things in our lives. And I think on a regular daily basis, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, loves it when you just ask him what you should do. What you should do in that day. That's why I love that Lord's Prayer and those seven phrases that we've been using to pray throughout the day. It just reminds me all day long that there's not anything going on. There's not any relationship I have, any conversation I have, any meeting I have, any quiet time I have, any driving time I have. There's not any time I have that I can't ask Jesus for help during that time. And he is saying over and over and over, "I'll answer you. I'll help you." He wants us to ask. Jesus wants us to ask, because he is still the teacher and we are still the students. He is still the leader and we are still the followers. He is still the master and we are still the apprentices. And he says, ask. Ask and I will help. And I think sometimes we don't ask because we just think, well, I don't want to bother God about that. How many will you admit that you have actually thought that before? I don't want to bother God about that. God has so many more important things. That's so petty. Why? I don't want to bother God with that. Jesus said, ask. I think sometimes we say, well, I don't know if I should pray about this or not. And I want to just tell you something right now. I hope you will always remember when Ken Holsbury said, if you ever wonder, I don't know whether I should pray about this or not, the answer is, yes, you should. If you ever wonder, just remember, yeah, you should pray about that. I think sometimes we just say, well, I've been asking God for so much. Or sometimes we say, you know what, I don't know what His will is. So I don't know whether I should pray about that. That may not be His will, and so I hate to ask about it. Or I ask about it very tentatively because I'm not sure what His will is. And Jesus just says, ask. I want you to ask. I want you to pray. And here's another reason I think Jesus wants us to ask. Because when we ask God, we are developing and building trust between God and us. And see, God gives us the parent and child relationship to teach us about our relationship with Him and His relationship with us. That's really what a parent-child relationship is all about. That's why God blessed us with that, is so we can understand and know what His relationship is with us. And how does your child learn to trust you? How did your baby learn to trust you? Because when your baby cried, even though you did not know, now Paula seemed to always know. I never knew what that cry meant. But whatever the cry was, we figure out and we try to meet that baby's need, right? That's just the most natural thing in the world for us to do. The baby cries and we try to meet the need. And then as the baby grows up and begins to actually talk and express and be able to use words, then I was finally relieved because, oh, that's what you want. But I still, if he asked, I would give. And that's the way that works, that parent-child relationship. And that's the way it works with God. The more we ask, the more we give Him the chance to give and to bless and to help, the more trust we have in Him as our Father, as our caring and our consistent and our close and our competent Father. And so ask, and it builds and it develops that trust when we ask and when He answers. Now, as a parent, I didn't say yes to my boys all the time. And God doesn't say yes to us all the time, but even in the waits and the no's, now it usually takes a little more time, but even in those, I learn, oh, He was right. I should trust Him even in the no's because He knows better than I do. And so Jesus said, ask. That's the first helpful hint. As we pray for healing and restoration, don't ever think there's anything you shouldn't ask God for. Shouldn't ask God about. Jesus says ask. The second thing Jesus says in this verse is that I can ask in His name. I get to ask in Jesus' name. And that phrase is so common to us as Christians. It's almost a throwaway phrase. Now, I hate to say that because it's not, but almost sometimes that phrase just becomes, you know, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. And we just kind of go through, we just say it because we're supposed to say it. But if we stop and think about the incredible privilege and honor that we have, that when we pray, we get to pray in Jesus' name. That's incredible. It's such a privilege. And I want you to notice also that he says, until now, no one has asked in my name. Do you realize that? Until that time, no one had ever asked God for anything in Jesus' name. What changed? We just celebrated it. The death and the resurrection of Jesus changed everything. The cross and the tomb changed everything. And we live on this side of the cross. And we get to ask, as no one had ever gotten to do before, We get to ask in Jesus' name, because his name is the name that is above all names. Amen? His name is the only name that saves. Amen? His name is the name that takes us to the Father, to the very throne of God. Amen? So we get to pray in Jesus' name. And so at this point, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. And he is there to intercede for us. And when we pray and we come in Jesus' name, the Father looks to Jesus. And he knows his Son. And he knows all who are in his Son. And we get the blessings and the privileges at the throne of God because we're there in Jesus' name. Not my name. My name doesn't carry much weight in heaven, but Jesus' name does. And so Jesus said, you get to pray in my name. Tony Evans told a great story about this. And Tony Evans had a son who was also named Tony Evans. And he says that one day his son asked him to come and pick him up at the airport. And this was years ago, back when you could go pick someone up at the airport. And so he actually went inside and went to the gate, and he noticed his son was the third person to come off the plane and out the gate, third person. And his son walked up to him, and Tony Evans said, "Oh, no, you didn't." And his son said, "Oh, yes, I did." Tony said, "I know exactly what you did." And he said, "Here's why I knew. Because when you're the third person off the plane, you sat in first class." And he said, "I knew my son didn't have first class money. And I knew he didn't have first class tickets, but he had a first class name. Because Tony Evans Sr. flew so much, he was a platinum member of that airline. And what his son had done is walked up to the ticket counter and said, 'I'm Tony Evans, and I would like a platinum upgrade.'" And they said, "Well, Dr. Evans, yes, sir, come right in." And they sat him in first class. And I love that story because it just reminds us of the power of a name. And his son got privileges that belonged to his dad. But because he wore the name, he got them too. And Jesus says, "No one has ever done it before, but now you get to pray in my name." What a blessing. What an incredible blessing. And when we pray for healing and restoration, we do it in Jesus' name. Okay, another verse that I want us to look at. And this one is from James. "Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray." Again, stating the obvious, but we need the obvious stated. "Is anyone in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is anyone sick? He should call the elders of the church and pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be," what? "Healed." What are we praying for? Healing and restoration. And so what do we learn from this verse? Some helpful hints to remind us of how we pray for healing and restoration. We ask God, we do it in Jesus' name, and the third one is we get other people to pray with us. And again, I think we need to be reminded of this. We can get other people to pray with us. He says, if you're in trouble, you should pray. If you're happy, you should sing, which singing is just another form of praying when we sing it to God. If you're sick and you need healing, what do? You go get other people and you get them to pray. And the verse talks about elders, and our elders love to pray with you. And they love it when you invite them into your life and pray with you. But it doesn't just have to be elders. It's your small group. It's your friends. It's your family. It's anyone who will pray in Jesus' name, who you can gather and get them to pray for you. And I know, and I want to be really clear to say this, it only takes one person praying for God to answer. Because in this very next verse, he says, the prayer of a righteous person accomplishes everything that needs to be accomplished. So All it takes is one person to pray. God listens to one prayer. But then Jesus also says over in Matthew that when two or more, and Jonathan referenced this, when two or more are gathered, when we come in Jesus' name and ask, it'll be done. And so one is good, two is gooder, and a bunch is goodest. Get people to pray with you. Don't go it alone. If you need healing and restoration in your life, don't let anything keep you from inviting other people in to pray with you. Because see, what the devil loves to do is isolate us. He just loves to... Have you ever watched a wild animal go after a herd? What does that wild animal do? What does that predator do? Finds the one who's weak. And when we need healing and restoration, we're at a weak point. There's no shame in that. It's just what it is. And the devil will isolate us, and he will separate us, and he will move us away from the other people who can give us strength and safety and help. And so if you are in a situation where you need healing and restoration, do not let the enemy isolate you. Don't try to do it on your own. Get some other folks and invite them to pray. And God will heal. He will help. That's why we do prayer chains and why we do prayer pages. My sister's brother-in-law was very seriously ill early in the year. What did they do? They just created a page on Facebook called Praying for Hito and just invited every single person they knew to invite every single person they knew to start praying. And God healed him. I have a friend right now who's a preacher in Oklahoma who is very sick. And his family has put together a map online. And what they're doing is just inviting everyone to come and to put a pin in that map of where they live and that they are praying. And that map is covered. The whole world is represented. Because they know that when you need healing and restoration, you need people around you who are praying. And so don't let pride, don't let embarrassment, don't let shame, don't let any of that stuff keep you from getting some other people around you. Brian Box, just this week, has told me on two different occasions that there is no way that they would be getting through this season of their life without your prayers. And so as much... And as glad as you are honored to pray for someone else, remember that they are honored to pray for you. So when you need healing and restoration, get other people to pray. Another helpful hint from this verse, and it's number 4, and that is pray with confidence. Pray with confidence in what? Confidence in God. When you pray, pray with confidence in God. We've said throughout this 40 days, prayer is about God. It's about who God is. It's not about us. It's about who God is. And so when we pray, we can pray with confidence in God. James was inspired to write that the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. And there is a direct connection between faith and prayer, between belief and between God's work. And we have to be really careful with it because we can manipulate it and misuse it. And we can tell someone, well, the reason you didn't get what you prayed for is just you didn't have enough faith. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying you can have confidence in God. Whatever the answer is, you can have confidence in God when you pray. You should have confidence in God when you pray because He is the God who is able. I love the verse that we used today in our daily journal because it said, our God is the God of the heavens. Our God is the God of the heavens. There's no other God who's the God of the heavens. Our God is the God of the heavens. He's the one who is able. He's the one who can. It's up to Him to decide what He's going to do. It's up to us to ask. And so you do not have to hedge your prayers. I admit that I often hedge my prayers. I had to work on myself this morning. We have a family member who's very, very ill. And I've been praying for him. And Jesus taught me to pray for God's will to be done. But I don't want to use that as a hedge, because what I usually kind of do is say, well, God, I don't really know what you're planning here, what you want, and so I don't know. In that very verse where Jesus said, where Jesus prayed for God's will to be done, Jesus still directly asked his Father for something. He asked clearly. And so that's something I'm learning, is I don't have to hedge my prayers. I don't have to say, well, God, I don't really know what you want to do here. I just have to ask. And I can ask with confidence in God. And then just leave the rest to him. The last verse that we're going to look at, the last helpful hint this morning, the verse is from Ephesians chapter 6. Pray in the Spirit at all times, with all kinds of prayers, asking for all you need. To do this, you must always be ready, never give up, always pray for all God's people. And there's so many alls in there, we even miss two of them from capitalizing them. Because that verse is so full of alls. I love that verse. I love that the Holy Spirit wrote that verse. In fact, I want us to say it out loud. I want you to stand up right now. And I want you to say this with me. And I want you, and if you're at home, I want you to stand up right now with us. Because you're participating with us. And I want you to say with emphasis the alls and the always. And if you don't do it all in, I'm going to make you do it all over. Okay? So say it with me. Pray in the Spirit at what?
All
times. With all kinds of prayers. Asking for?
All.
To do this, you must?
Always.
Be ready and never give up. Always pray for all God's people. Good job. You don't even have to do it twice. You did it so good the first time. You can be seated. But I'm still going to ask you to participate with me. Answer my question out loud. What times should you pray?
Always.
What kinds of prayers should you pray?
Always.
Who should you pray for?
Always.
What should you pray for?
Always.
The key word is what?
Always.
Very good. All. You think God meant that? No, I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm asking. You think God meant that? You think that just was a sentence that Paul thought, ooh, I like that sentence. I'll write that down. Ooh, I can use all seven times or however. I didn't even count them. I think God meant that. All. And so this last hint, I wish I'd written it differently, is don't stop praying. I should have said always pray. Always pray. Don't stop praying. If you need God, pray. In all things, in all ways, all circumstances, for all people, in all ways, pray. Ask Him for help. Ask in Jesus' name. Get other people to pray with you. Pray with confidence in God and always pray. And here's my blessing for you and my prayer for you. It comes from Hebrews. That as you approach God's throne of grace with confidence, may you find mercy and help in your time of need.